Yeah. Good gene.
Yeah.
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 It's all hers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You old Gene.
Yeah.
All right. So Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to pick it up there at verse 9. So somebody just read those two couplets there, 9 through 12.
Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son is whom he delights.
So as we've been going through this paragraph last week and then now finishing it out this week, we're seeing where sometimes it's just the first verse, and then there's what happens on the second verse. Sometimes in the AD, and then A in the first verse and the first part of the second verse, we get that, what we're to do, and then what consequences are, what's going to happen because of that. So now we're jumping into 9. So if we're honoring the Lord with our wealth, what does that look like in 2024? How do we do that by the guiding of the Holy Spirit today?
Tithing. Don't put your...
Chan?
Tithing.
Okay, tithing. All right. So when you say tithing, Chan, what does that mean?
Giving 10% of what you earn.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, is that something that is Old Testament, New Testament?
Old Testament.
Okay. Does it transition? Does it come into the New Testament? In what way?
It's the foundation for the new covenant, which is really just to honor the Lord with everything.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And so, just like Pastor's going to do next week with Sabbath, what we have to clearly understand is the literal, legalistic 10% from the Old Testament doesn't come into the New Testament. Right? But yet, what we see in the New Testament relates to that, and how does it relate? Brian, say your part again there.
It's the foundation, and it's really from there you're only going up and getting more.
Yes,
that's the way I see it.
Yes, and to a certain extent, you know, we're to give till it really hurts, or to give till we feel good about it, and so we're not bringing the tithing into the New Covenant, into the New Testament in a legalistic way, but yet it does seem like it's a starting point for then what Jesus challenges us and what the apostles challenge us to be giving of God everything within us. And so we just want to make sure we understand when we say tithe, because that specifically is an Old Testament word, but I think it's okay for us to use it in the New Testament with the understanding that we're not being legalistic and we're not keeping it because it comes from the Old Testament. We're keeping it because the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles, highlighted and actually elevated above and beyond that. Okay, good. Somebody else had a hand over here. Dave, was that you? Oh, okay. Hunter, were you saying something? Okay.
Somebody over here. I've got a problem projecting, so that's probably why you...
Yeah.
So, not putting your money to things that the Lord wouldn't approve of.
Okay. So having that understanding that you're not going to put it towards things that God is not in for or liking along those lines.
I think 10% is a good place to start, because mm-hmm. sometimes we don't really know. Mm-hmm. And you can pray about it, and maybe God doesn't put like a certain percentage on your heart. But I think, I can't remember where it was, that said, give unto God whatever you have decided in your heart. I'm butchering that verse. But I think that's, you know, whatever between you and the Lord, mm-hmm. what you decide, and you trust that, you know, whatever He wants for you, whatever He wants you to give is best. But I think 10% is a great place to start.
Good? Yeah.
I think, I mean, for me personally, when you realize that any type of wealth comes from Him mm-hmm. to begin with, right? So really, I mean, I know we're going to get into it. Hey, and your first fruits, like not the leftovers, but I don't want to get ahead of you. But
well, let's go ahead. Read the second part of 9 there, Mike.
And with the first fruits of all your produce.
So what type of culture do we have here? We have to make sure that we recognize that. Agrarian. Yeah, so we're bringing out the big words today. Okay. So agrarian means what? They farm. Yeah. Okay. And so we have to understand when it says the first fruits of your produce, most of the people are growing their own produce, and you need stuff to eat, and so does the church, and so does other believers, and so does the temple, and so that's really where you're bringing. But what's the idea of the first fruit within that? Say, okay, best.
It involves trust.
Yeah. In what way?
The farmer doesn't know what the rest of the crop is going to look like.
Okay.
So my translation says the first fruits of thine increase, and so it's like a military tradition. Whenever someone gets promoted, then whatever the difference in pay is, then that's like what they put at the bar, like as a tab, and then they like go to the bar and so if you're not doing the bar thing, you come to church, then you know you can put that into the tithing as well. So.
I would say to give thanks because in South Korea we have a holiday for like it's our South Korea Thanksgiving Day. Basically, we start at the first harvest.
Chuseok.
Yeah, so that is the name for it. But basically, it's to get the first fruit of whatever they cultivate and give it to the whatever gods that they were serving. So that's their. Thanksgiving holiday is the same thing as here, I think, where to cultivate the first fruit and give it to our God is to give thanks for the harvest.
So back then, what would have been the opposite? Okay, go ahead, Daniel.
No, I was just going to add, I mean, I'm surprised at how many people you're talking to, you know, use this as an excuse not to come to church. You know, just, I don't know where we pivoted or whatever, but I have a couple of friends that I do a lot of things with, and, you know, invitations and things of that nature comes out where somehow or other it's got communicated that it's a requirement, right? And I don't know why that is.
I think that's where, you know, we need to help people to understand that it's not a requirement to come to church. It's an opportunity to be around family, church family. But yet, you know, over the last 50 years, often it has been browbeat into people that, you know, it's a demand. You know, you've got to be here, and then people push back on that and rebel against that. And so that's where, you know, as a church family, you know, we try to challenge you to come and be part with each other. Opportunities to grow and learn, and that's where, you know, like in this classroom, as in others, you know, we want it to be discussion. So that we can understand and learn some things you're seeing and from things you've experienced, so we can learn from that, because we're family and God wants us learning from each other. Nate?
No, I was.
Oh, sorry. Somebody else? Oh,
hand.
Okay.
Yeah, the more feminine hand than that.
Yeah, sorry.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
To me, that ties right into what Pastor Sean was preaching about this morning with the mat. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, those legalistic terms things, you know, you have to pay your tithes. You know, they're missing the big picture. They're missing, you know, what they need. Doesn't matter if you pay or not, you still need what's in the church.
So when we look at this, then let's jump into, then the barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. What's the New Testament picture that we often talk about, Pastor often bring it up here, that we see between verse 9 and verse 10?
Prosperity gospel?
What's that?
Prosperity gospel.
We do talk about that, but no, I don't, that wasn't what I was talking about. But yeah, we got to be careful about, you know, prosperity gospel and name it and claim it, and the reason you don't have is because you're not being spiritual enough. So yeah, that is true. That wasn't my thought, but that fits there. It fits there perfectly because that's what prosperity gospel does. You know, it says that if you want your barns to be filled, then you have to do this. All right? And if your barns aren't being filled, it's because you're not doing this on that. Okay. And so it's very much around that.
I just want to say something else. If when God says to do these things, I think you have to come to the realization that He owns it all and that He's giving you these many blessings. And it's like His commandments. It's not a burden to follow your commandments because you love Him. So you would want to give money to your church because you love the Lord. It's not so much that you have to, it's just that you see He lets you wake up every morning. He gives you so many blessings. And that, why wouldn't you want to take care of His church?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody said the word trust. I forget. Who was that?
Darius did.
Oh, yeah, well, the trust part, I think also because God promised that if you do this, then I promise that this will happen. So if you trust what He says, this is what you will do. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was instead of giving Him your leftovers, you give Him the first thing because it's kind of a form of worship, right?
Mm-hmm. And so I was going to go down that road. Since you circled us back, I'll do it now. So back then, what would have been the opposite of bringing the first fruits?
Wait to see how much you have and then...
Okay, yeah. All right. Waiting until the end, see what you had and then bring some. Somebody else say it over here? Okay.
I think it's just, you step out on faith.
Okay.
Right. Instead of waiting to see, you're like, all right, so just, you know, and then you just make a commitment. And a lot of people like get confused. It's not just monetary. We need volunteers in the nursery. We need people to step up and become deacons and ushers and every aspect of the church. Yeah.
So
volunteers for the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, exactly.
So then what would be the opposite in 2024 then? If we're not trusting God with everything that we have with as our first fruits, then you know, not you, of course, but maybe somebody else in another Sunday school class. What would they be doing that wouldn't be this, Mike?
You're relying on yourself, right? Okay. You're I don't know. You don't look at it that way. Like, hey, I earned this. I worked hard for it, so it's mine. And then I'll sprinkle a little bit to God.
Yep.
But so that reminds me of 2 Corinthians 9:6, which says that the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then it says each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so, you know, when we're giving with tithes, you know, offerings, those things of our first fruits, we're giving it out of a heart of we're of thankfulness, right? Because we know that all things come from God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all His anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I should have this desire, not so it shouldn't be reluctant. It shouldn't hurt me to give. I should be giving because it's all His anyway, right? So thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, and this is all that I could give. I wish I could give even more. It really should be the heart.
Before you jump off that, drop down to verse 10. Read verse 10.
He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness.
I think that's interesting. It's not, as we see in Proverbs, a this for that of agrarian farmful.
Right.
There's a connection between giving and a harvest of righteousness.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. As you were saying in the beginning, that transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think we need to point out and want to make sure that it doesn't become like a religious routine, like, oh, I tithe, so I'm going to go to heaven, or, oh, I don't eat meat for 10 days, or I rub dirt on my forehead, or nobody saw my feet, like different, like weird religion, religious, like nuances. So, yeah, they want to detract away from what we're being called to do.
Yeah, it's really a spirit matter as far as, you know, where is our spirit? Is our spirit with the spirit or not with the spirit? Jane?
I think we have to go all the way back to Genesis, to Cain and Abel, to look at the difference of what Abel brought versus what Cain brought. Yeah. And then God's response to that was, sin is crouching at the door, and you have to rule over sin.
Yeah.
And that was the difference between the two offerings.
Yeah, yeah. Who brought the offering with the right heart back then?
Abel
did. You know, it wasn't what they brought. It was how they brought it and the heart that they brought it with It wasn't one was an animal and one was a plant, all right? Because we see throughout the Old Testament, both are offerings, and both are righteous offerings. And so that's why we have to make sure we understand that it was his heart, and that's why Cain was not being accepted in his offering. Neil?
Just as we have needs that we have to meet, the church also has needs that need to be met. And so by us giving an offering, we are meeting the needs of the church. And so,
and I try to rephrase that and repicture that. It's the needs you guys have. You know, it's not that Breen as the church is a separate entity than each of you. All right? And so you all need to have heating and air. You all need to have running water. You all need to have light come on. And so it's not like the entity, the Berean church, needs this. It's these are the expectations you would have and visitors would have when they come. Now, in the 1950s, you could just throw open the windows and you didn't have to have air conditioning in Fayetteville, North Carolina. But now in 2024, if you're a church and you don't have air conditioning,
plenty of parking for visitors.
Yeah. Right.
I wanted to jump out to Acts chapter 2, verse 45.
Yeah.
And it talks about the early fellowship of believers. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So, I mean, that's, you know, I would say that that's probably doesn't happen very often. The people go out and sell their possessions to give. You know, that's a challenging verse.
And here's where we have to understand the context. They had a very small margin financially back then. We really have a much greater margin in our lives today. But because we spend it and we buy on a lot of things that are not light necessities, it doesn't seem like we have that big of a margin. But we have to realize that back then, the finances were literally that tight that if they needed extra money for somebody, they had to literally get rid of something that they had. Now, for us today, that would rarely be the case if we just handle our finances and live within our means. We should have an extra amount just on hand because in 2024 in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the people that are at Berean Baptist Church, very few of us are living that tight from the standpoint of what we make and what we need to live on. Now, having said that, in Berean in 2024, there's a lot of people that are living very tightly. But that's not because you're living for what you actually need. That's because you're living on what you want. Statistics still show that people are spending 110% of what they're earning in the United States. And the statistics aren't that much better within people that go to church. That's why debt is increasing more and more, because people are living on more than they're even making on that. And when we think about even somebody that is low socioeconomic around us, compared to the rest of the world, they're within the highest 5% of those across the whole world. And so those of us that are middle class or upper class, we're even higher up in that percentile, probably 98th percentile, 99th percentile within the world as far as the money you take in compared to everybody. When you think about that, almost 8 billion people. Most of us in this room, we're at least at the 90th percentile when it comes to making money across the board, the whole world. The whole 8 billion population.
Wow.
So That's where we got to make sure we're seeing our context bigger than right around here. Because, yeah, it's easy to find somebody who makes more money than you around here, drives a nicer car, has a bigger house. But then you've got to look at the whole way around the world. Sandra?
Yes, I was going to say that when I read that first group, when we do that, we help you conquer grief.
It does.
And you teach yourself how to, like you say, using your resources, actually not your resources, what you give us.
Yeah, you know, it does help with grief. If you didn't hear her on that, it definitely helps us not be as greedy.
I just wanted to say that a lot of times we don't realize that the money that we give goes to sometimes missionaries, mm-hmm. and it goes to the pastors, and we have a part in that, whether you realize it or not. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, "Give to the church," and all our pastors are preaching and continually studying the Word of God, and that goes out to others, and others are saved through that, and missionaries across the world are out there preaching the gospel, and you are given the money so you can fund these things, and you are part of that, and the Lord sees that.
So, Darius?
Oh, I was going to say, somebody mentioned earlier, you know, that our wealth is not just financially bound. Mm-hmm. We have resources, vehicles, homes, mm-hmm. time, and what we're, I think kind of what we're seeing here is we get to sow temporally, sow physically, and reap spiritually. Thinking about what Jesus said in Matthew 6 about laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven, what greater treasure is there than to invest in souls? To get to see more people brought into the household of God, worshiping our Savior.
So here will be a testimony for my guests through silence. So for those of you in the room, okay, don't raise your hand at any point, please. But for those of you in the room that are very trusting of God with your finances and your wealth, how many of you feel shortchanged and that you're actually missing out on something? The more you're around people that have turned finances over to God and really allow Him to have control of them, I've never run into people that are, you know, complaining or distraught or challenged. It's one of those that, you know, what we just read, it happens. You know, the sowing and the reaping and God doing the multiplication, it happens. And ultimately, this is all tied to our righteousness, as Gene pointed it out. You know, the way we control and give and share what we have, it comes back to, are we right with God or are we not right with God? So, glad you guys made that connection with 2 Corinthians on that. And the Acts passage, I mean, that's to me, that's the perfect picture of the New Testament church. When we start there in Acts chapter 2, start at verse 39, 3,000 came to faith. And then everything that they did, and then they found favor with those that were in the lost community around them, and God added to the church daily. To me, that can be us in 2024. But to find favor in those that are around us, they need to see what the community saw happening in that New Testament church there, because it was drastically different than what they were seeing in their own neighborhood and their own families. That's why they were being found favorable, because people were looking at them and they're just like, wow, you know, that's like crazy awesome. Mike, close up the word of prayer for us, please.
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you and first of all, Lord, give you thanks to be able to deep dive into your word, Lord. For brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, we give you thanks for the many blessings that you give us. Help us to realize that it's all yours, Lord, that we should give with cheerful hearts, Lord, and that you do your will, with whatever that is, to expand your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with the preaching, Lord, with Pastor Sean, Lord, and we ask that you be with us, Lord, as we go on through our weeks, that we are that light among our work or friends or whatever situation we find ourselves this week, Lord. Please help us to spread your kingdom, Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.